We end this hour with the amazing story of what it's like to literally walk in the footsteps of the President of the United States. In the wide shots of President Barack Obama from the 2008 campaign until 2011, you could see the smiling, sometimes nervous and exhausted face of a young man standing near the commander-in-chief. This man carried no Secret Service earpiece, he didn't hold any nuclear launch codes, but he was Barack Obama's so-called body man, special assistant and personal aide. Reggie Love was that young man who, in his early 20s, after being an NCAA champion basketball star at Duke University under the legendary coach Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K, he became candidate Barack Obama's body man, a story he tells in the book Power Forward, My Presidential Education.
He'd started running for president, and I'd taken this job as a body guy. I don't really know what it is. And I'm in, like, Keene, New Hampshire. It's got to be 10 degrees outside, snow everywhere. And I'm, like, running around at 6:30 in the morning trying to find a place that's open that sells eggs and bacon. And there are many moments like that in which I could say, man, this isn't that sexy or that cool. But I was able to find value in the fact that even though it's not a sexy, cool thing, it's an important part to him being able to go out and to campaign for, you know, president of the United States. You know, the guy's hungry, he can't focus, he can't, you know, maybe passes out at an event or, you know, so even though it wasn't necessarily this shiny object at the time, you know, doing those little things for 6 years gave me the ability to build that relationship with him and the rest of the people in the organization.
You write this great story about how you reminded Barack Obama on a very busy, I believe it was a Martin Luther King day, where he had to give a speech, that he had like 10 minutes to get ready. And you watched him in 10 minutes, when you knew he was tired, make a transformation. Take me to that moment. And then he gave a speech.
Yeah. No, it was Atlanta, the day after the Nevada caucus. And he'd stayed up the entire night, rewriting a speech that he was going to give at Ebenezer Church. I know for a fact it was almost 3:45 when he went to sleep. And I wake up, I'm tired. And typically, you know, he would try to go to the gym. Some days, you know, he wouldn't go to the gym because you just didn't have it that day, right? And this day, you know, I kind of knock, and I knock again, and I knock again. And finally, I asked the Secret Service agent to let me in the room, and I say, I'm very nervous, and it's dark, it's this big suite, can't see anything, and I just kind of yell out, I'm like, you know, sir, I hear this loud growl come out of the room, startles me.
Growl one.
And, you know, and I knew he was tired, and he gets up, he gets dressed, and by the time he'd gotten dressed and we'd gotten to the church and he'd been announced to stage, you would have thought that he'd had, you know, 7 hours of sleep. He just switched and ready to go.
And he gave a speech that was way more than just a 3-point shot.
Yeah, as one of the more powerful speeches that he gave throughout the campaign.
I'm not talking about the budget deficit. I'm not talking about the trade deficit. Talking about the moral deficit in this country. I'm talking about an empathy deficit. The inability to recognize ourselves in one another. To understand that we are our brother's keeper and our sister's keeper. That in the words of Dr. King, we are all tied together in a single garment of destiny.
Your worst mistake working for him?
The worst mistake, you know, all mistakes are bad, but the worst mistakes, I believe, are the ones that are repetitive. But I still, to this day, I beat up with a little bit of sweat every time I think about the time I left his briefcase in the car in Florida the day and a half before the first debate in Columbia, South Carolina.
Right, so he wasn't president yet. It's not like he has the launch codes, right?
No. So this is still early
on.
It's still early.
Yeah.
You know, it was very nerve-wracking. I was close to losing my job.
How did you find it?
I found it, and I remember when he asked me about it, And, you know, I thought I was going to be able to get back to the hotel and maybe get it there before he even realizes it's gone. And we're in the car, and he goes, hey, Reggie, where's my bag? And I kind of look, and I say, well, it's on the way. He was like, what do you mean it's on the way? Shouldn't it be in the car? I was like, yeah, but it's, you know, it kind of got left behind in one of the cars, and it's, you know, 5.5 hours behind us. But
how hard was that to say?
It was very hard to say.
The bacon and eggs is all over your face.
Face, pants, shoes, hair.
And he forgave you? He threw a fit? What happened?
He's very calm about it. I think he was, you know, he sat me down a few hours later. He said, look, if you're not up to do this job, and I'm sure someone else will be. That was it. And, you know, from there on, it was kind of the ship had been set a course, and I tried not to. Now, granted, you know, I'm not perfect, and I feel like there are a lot of things that happen that went wrong that probably weren't my fault that I definitely took credit for.
Well, good for you.
But, you know, that's part of the deal. You know, a lot of these things you're figuring out as some of these things you're doing for the first time. I'd never, you know, prepared for a state dinner before. I'd never, you know, been to China before. There's no manual.
What question scares you the most that you're going to be asked on this tour?
The question.
Because I know it. I know it.
Oh, you know it?
Yeah. You were the guy that carried the cigarettes, right?
I was the guy that carried the cigarettes? I mean, I may have smoked a cigarette here and now and then, but I'm not the, I don't know that I'm necessarily the cigarette carrier.
For Barack Obama.
Yeah. No,
did he quit?
I mean, that was part of the deal. The deal was that he was going to quit smoking if he ran for president. He made that deal with his wife, and he successfully did do it. That's a good question, though.
That's a good question. you had a front row seat for that one.
Yeah.
Before we go, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina.
North Carolina. And you go back to the neighborhood where you grew up and the people, the folks, yeah?
I do get back to the neighborhood every now and then.
What question did they ask you about what you've seen?
You know, everyone wants to know if there's, like, aliens. It's like people want to know, what kind of basketball player is the president really like? Like, is he? Can he actually play? I'm like, yeah, he can play basketball. He's like, he makes the people he plays with better. And I don't know where the aliens are.
Darn. I thought we were going to make some news here. Reggie Love, thanks so much.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you having me today.
Reggie Love was special assistant and personal aide to President Barack Obama from 2007 to 2011. He shares his coming-of-age story in the new book, Power Forward, My Presidential Education.